It's time now on KSMU for Making a Difference, stories of hope and help produced in cooperation with the Community Foundation of the Ozarks. In 2011, some 17 years after losing her 2-year-old son, Ellis Beam, to cancer, Karen Catt worked with the Community Foundation of the Ozarks to create the Ellis Fund, which helps families of children with cancer cover non-medical bills. The Ellis Fund was of great help to Amanda Estrada's family in 2012 and 13, when Amanda's 17-year-old son Marcelo was successfully treated for his illness. And in June 2013, Amanda Estrada and Karen Catt met for the very first time.
The first time we actually met in person was when you called me and asked if we could go to lunch.
Being able to meet with you was just like a breath of fresh air. Having someone to relate to and to understand, I was really grateful to have someone to talk to.
There's not a lot of people to connect with when your child is sick.
Right.
How did you find out about Marcelo being sick and start your process there? Because one thing that is different, a lot of people think everybody goes to St. Jude, and you didn't go to St. Jude.
No. Marcelo was really complaining of lower back pain. And after about 2 weeks, he's like, I need to see a doctor. And well, we went, and our family physician really had suspected it right off the bat and sent him for a CT and an ultrasound. And he basically said, I don't have the results yet, but I'm pretty sure that that's what's going on, because he had felt the mass in his testicle. That was how it got started. And once he was diagnosed, there was no treatment here. We had to travel to St. Louis. The initial treatment in St. Louis failed. It didn't work. So I looked for the best of the best, and we ended up in Indianapolis. We actually went to Lance Armstrong's doctor, and he was the one that created the initial treatment that was so successful.
Yeah. I remember we had to contact the hotel in Indianapolis to figure out if we could help. And then what are the other things that people don't think about, you know, because what we help with a lot of times is utility bills and rent or mortgage or even travel things. How does that affect paying for just the everyday things that you used to be able to pay for and now all of a sudden you can't?
It's pretty crazy because, I mean, it's not only that you have a ton more expenses, but in a lot of cases, there's someone losing income. Especially when you're traveling for treatment, I ended up not being able to work. Plus, you have all these expenses. Oh, my goodness. You're running two households virtually because usually both parents can't go for treatment. And in our case, we had a younger son, so you're trying to maintain normalcy. Also, Marcelo had to have a stem cell transplant and the high-dose chemo then. And that's, I mean, they're pretty much killing you off and bringing you back to life. We were never able to utilize any of the free housing that's available. Ronald McDonald House was always full. We actually had to live in Indianapolis for 2 months. So with the Ellis Fund helping to pay bills, it was really helpful.
So what is your life like now that you can look back on it? What is so different now?
The little things on a personal level, like around the house, don't bother me anymore. If I can go to sleep with my sink full of dishes, I don't like it necessarily, but I don't flip out how I used to. But then it's socially a little awkward sometimes, people complaining that they need a break. And when they're telling me all these things that are going on in their life, and I'm just like, really? That's big. It's really pretty minute.
Like you said, you know, I am very aware. People say they're tired, and I always think these kids don't get to take a break from their cancer. Mm-hmm. So as parents, we don't get to take a break either, you know, of taking care of them.
I guess to get some clarification on, like, how everything got started. Once your son got sick and you lost him, how long did it take you to come up with the concept to help others? And when did you feel like you were ready to do that?
You know, the only way I know to describe this is I needed the world to keep spinning. I needed everybody else to still live a normal life so I had something to get back onto, like the kids on the merry-go-round. I had to watch it for a while, but then that was the only way I could get back on. I really tried to stay away from all the things that had to do with cancer and kids and all of that for many years, and it was 17 years after Ellis died, that I was connected to a family, a friend of my now stepson, and their child had cancer. And then I just, you know, I just couldn't stand it. You know, I was like, let me help. Let me do something. And then I got connected, and I really just thought, I just want to help this one family. But then it was somebody else that I knew at my church. And then it was somebody else that I knew at the school. And then another friend that I just knew. And within 6 months, we knew four families. And then I was talking to someone else, and they connected me to the Community Foundation of the Ozarks. And as we were talking over coffee, I kept saying, well, who is out there to help these families? And they kept saying, there's no one out there that pays non-medical. And I couldn't believe that in a town the size of Springfield, there was nothing out there that helped with non-medical. So then we just said, well, how would it start? And so really, we had no idea. We just said, how would it start? And it started with, we helped those four families that year. And then eventually it did become full-fledged. We now help about, last year it was 16 families, but on an average, it's about 22 families per year. And we can give $1,000 for per family per calendar year to pay different things that are not medical, because other organizations and charities will help pay the medical. So we're trying to fill in that spot. And the other thing I want to be sure that people know is that because the Community Foundation manages our funds, our administrative costs, they help so many other different funds and charitable organizations that are out there. It's just a 1% fee for them to do all these things that I could not possibly do by myself. So when somebody donates $100 to the Ellis Fund, $99 of it goes to the family, goes directly to pay those bills. And, you know, that is something that very few organizations can say, that that much of a percentage goes directly to the families.
Right. One thing I wanted to tell you was how amazed I was with all that you've been through, that you were able to direct all your efforts towards the Ellis Fund. And I think not a lot of people would be able to financially do it, but having nothing to do with finances would actually put all the effort forth that you have to create something like this for other people. You just did such a wonderful thing in Ellis's name.
Okay, give me a second to get my breath here. She just brought me to tears. You know, I just think, and I don't know how to explain this other than it just is part of who I am at this point, because we know what all these families are going through. I don't know how not to do it. You know, like when you see a need there, I don't know how not to help, because it was so important to us. And I also think of this, you know, I just love what one of our Ellis Fund families had said, it was about a year ago. And she said, you know, Ellis didn't get the miracle to live because he did die, but he gets to be the miracle for others.
I think of you all the time. And I know that the days get busy and sometimes we lose contact. But more importantly, I think, than financial, I found a really good friend and someone to connect to and someone that I really respect and look up to, because you are pretty amazing. I just want to thank you for your friendship and for all that you do for the families that are going through such tough times.
Thank you. You know, a lot of times the families are so busy at the time that they're going through things. It does not offend me at all when people don't have the time to say thank you in the moment. I just know how much we needed help back then. And so I just, from having gone through it, I just know. But it does amaze me. We didn't meet in person, but we have that connection.
Mm-hmm. And we have a lasting friendship. I mean, I think with cancer, there's so many negative and bad things that happen, but then there are some really special things that you can say that come out of it too.
Yeah. There's the unspoken.
Right.
And I think of so many families also years later, when I least expected, I run into seeing them, you know, out in public, or seeing their name on something, or, you know, one of the kids is now in sports and you see him on the local news being on a sports team, or one of the girls was in gymnastics recently, and it just makes me happy. Mm-hmm. You know, it just makes me so happy that the families are doing so well now. And I do. I think of all the families that I don't get to talk to, but I hope they know they're all in my hearts. And just thank you for reaching out and asking me to lunch that day. It's more than just making me happy. It's that I know that my son's memory helped others.
Exactly.
As mothers of children with cancer, Karen Catt and Amanda Estrada are bonded by grief and gratitude. The Ellis Fund is a community foundation of the Ozarks Field of Interest Fund, which on average helps 22 families annually. For information, cfozarks.org. For Making a Difference, Stories of Hope and Help, I'm Mike Smith.